Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
Two women were subjected to stalking by men they scarcely knew, and they've launched a campaign to have a specific offence of stalking introduced into the statute book, with longer sentences for the crime than that currently available to prosecutors. Now, Una Ring from Youghal in County Cork and Eve MacDowell, a student at NUIG, were both subjected to terrifying campaigns of stalking, and both saw their stalkers receive similar sentences of 7 years with 2 years suspended after they had been convicted of harassment. Now, the women who established contact with each other after they had both spoken separately on radio have now teamed up with the support of the Cork Sexual Violence Centre, and they've begun a campaign for stalking to be recognised as a separate offence with significant penalties. In the UK, where someone is convicted of stalking and they put someone in fear of violence or cause serious alarm or distress, they can be jailed for up to 10 years, whereas the maximum sentence here for harassment under Section 10 of the Non-Fatal Offences Against a Person Act is 7 years. So joining me on the line to talk a little bit more about it is one of those ladies, Una Ring. Una, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me on.
And I'm sorry you had to go through what you had to go through. And it pains me to ask you to, can you give us some idea of what actually happened to you for the listeners listening who may not be familiar with your story? I suppose this happened to you, and it was very serious. I've read the story, actually, what happened to you. It was very serious. But maybe in your own words, let us know how you feel and are felt at the time, and, you know, and what fear this put into you.
Yeah, well, my guy in question, he was a work colleague, and he left work on the 7th of February, and he contacted me almost immediately to... he wanted me to meet him in his new place of employment to go through his project that he had left over when he was finishing up. Mm-hmm. And I asked him to come to, say, my office because all the paperwork was there.
Yeah.
I didn't really take any notice.
No, innocent enough, yeah.
Yeah. So then he rang me again and he said, look, that he had been talking to his employers and that they were interested in offering me a job as office manager, if I was interested, and could I call to his new place of employment. And I again said no, that I was very happy where I was, which I am. And again, didn't raise any red flags. I thought it was fine. And then he rang me the following day again and asked me to, could I call to the office early in the morning and give him a hand with, if he was having an exhibition or an opening, and would I help him out with, you know, flyers and leaflets and all that kind of stuff. So again, didn't raise any red flags. And
Because at the time you think this is just friendly interaction of somebody who was a former work colleague and they were trying to help you out. So yeah.
And like I was kind of saying, well, he's trying to make a good impression on his new employers. Like, so, you know, you wouldn't see anybody stuck.
Yeah.
So I met him at the side of the road, actually, and I followed him on in his car because I didn't know where it was. And it was February. It was like before 7 in the morning and it was pitch black. So he drove on. I drove on behind him and we got to the premises. And he was grand. Everything was just, you know, normal chit-chat. And we went in and he locked the door behind us, which I didn't take any notice of again, because often if I was working myself, if I was the first in to work, I'd lock the door behind me.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't take any notice, went upstairs, we're chatting away, and then I said, look, we'll go to the conference room because I wanted to get it done so I could go to work. And when I got to the conference room, there was nothing there but a table. There was no chairs, no flyers.
So you were brought there under false pretenses, essentially?
Yeah. And I kind of knew I was in trouble then. So I turned and he put his arms around me and was starting to try to kiss me. And I was like, James, I stop. And he was like, it's only a kiss. And I was like, no, I don't want this. And he was like, you won't know unless you try. And I was like, please stop. All I could do was move my head because he had my arms pinned.
That must have been terrifying for you.
It was terrifying. It really was. And he'd be quite a big man, whereas I'm like 5'2", you know.
Okay.
So I was again saying, please stop, and just moving my head away from him. And he was like, oh, you won't know unless you try. And then I was able to kind of get my hands free a bit. So I just shoved him off and I just said, look, stop. And he was saying, well, I'm separated and I think we'd be a good couple. And I was like, well, you know, I'm not interested for a relationship at the moment. I'm working hard. I was office manager at the time, recently promoted. And, you know, I wanted to put the hours in at work and put the effort into work. And I just said, look, I'm not interested. And he said, fine. So I was kind of like, how the hell am I going to get out of here? So I said, look, we'll have a cup of coffee. I had a quick cup of coffee, had a quick chit chat. And
I suppose you were doing that. You were doing that just to calm the situation, I suppose,
exactly,
at that stage. Yeah.
I felt if I kicked off, he would have kicked off, and it would have escalated quite quickly, because he had a face like thunder on him when I stopped him, you know. So I was kind of like...
And at that stage, had you thought about reporting that incident, or did you just put it down to experience and say, well, okay, I'm going to stay away from this guy? I mean, what way did you react to that
I was very shaken by it, but what happened then was he started messaging me for 6 weeks, and like it was like all the time. So there was one or two work ones which I messaged him back, but the other ones I ignored them, because I felt, okay, if I ignore him enough, he'll get the message and he'll go away. But unfortunately,
that made it worse.
It aggravated him, and he said he was going to come to my house.
Oh my!
I didn't think he knew where I lived. I knew he knew I lived in Yall, but I didn't think he knew my address.
At any stage, did you think, Una, to yourself, maybe I should go to the guards? At, you know, midway through all that. And maybe try and get a safety order against him or something like that? Or was there a thought of that going through your head that you should do that?
There wasn't at that time, but I like by June I was quite rattled by it, and
yeah,
I said, okay, I'm going to go to the guards and I'm going to report it just to have it on file. Because by this stage, you see, he did actually go quiet after the 1st of April. When I told him to stop, he stopped. So I did go to the guards in June, and I said, look, he's gone quiet now. I don't want you to contact him, because I don't want to aggravate him.
You don't
want to
start again.
Quiet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that, by the way, that's a terrible situation that you have to say something like that to the guards. I mean, because you shouldn't be in that situation, that you have to keep quiet with a fear that he's going to come back to you again. You know, that's a horrible situation.
Yeah. And you see, at the time we were in lockdown, and, you know, I was saying, okay, he's down in North Carberry. I'm up in Yall. He can't come up anyway. So, but the minute the lockdown was lifted, he was up at my house. No, I didn't know it was him, but the car tires were painted, the window was painted, the letters were left. And once the first letter was left, the guards advised me to put in CCTV. They were patrolling the park at night about three times a night. But once the second letter was left, like it ran.
And the contents of the letter were threatening you, essentially.
Yeah, it was. He told me he was going to break in and rape myself and my daughter if I didn't consent to sex with him. So yeah, it was quite horrific, really. And there was a guy from the crime prevention came up, and he told me to steal my letterbox in case he poured petrol through. And I did find that very, very, very hard to deal with.
And you know, when you sometimes you think about these things as some sort of fantasy that somebody would never carry out, but then when you read the news and you hear horrendous stories of, you know, a woman being murdered or a boyfriend killing a wife or a girlfriend or whatever, or vice versa, you think these are real. These are stories that actually can happen, and you do fear for your life. I can imagine you must have been terrified.
I was terrified. And like even with the guards parked outside, like they set up an operation then that they'd be outside the house from, they'd be down a bit from midnight until 5 a.m. So I knew they were there. But
can I ask you, by the way, when he started sending the letters and painting, you know, putting paint on your car or whatever, what else he was doing, could they not have arrested him at that point? I mean, what was the reasoning behind?
We didn't know it was him.
Oh, of course, you couldn't prove it was him, of course.
Couldn't prove it was him. And like, the way I felt particularly with the tyres was, like, they were painted pink. And I was like, what 52-year-old man is going to do a 4-hour round trip to paint tyres pink? I genuinely thought that it was a bit of vandalism. Now, of course, the guards were more savvy, and after, like, talking to me, they were kind of asking me, had I run him and anybody? And I said, look, the only person is the guy I reported in June. And again, with the noughts and crosses, like, I did find it so, like, at the time I found it juvenile, but looking back, it was actually very, very sinister.
Yeah, of course, there's nothing juvenile. It is very sinister, of course.
Yeah.
And then how eventually was he caught in the end?
Because when he left the first letter, it started with, hello, neighbour. So, again, we didn't know who the hell it was, and the guards were patrolling the park at night. And then I had gotten in CCTV cameras very, very quickly. So when he left the second letter, he was caught on camera.
Okay.
And it was 100% confirmed then that it was him. We knew it was him. And then the guards put in their operation of staying outside the house from 12 till 5. We were just waiting for him to come back. We knew he was going to come back.
And he didn't let you down?
And he didn't let me down, no. So, and thank God for the guards.
So he tried to break into your house?
And
the guards arrested him then. So your fear, of course, was lucky enough, the guards obviously were there, they caught him, everything else, he was basically caught in the act. If he hadn't have been, he may have carried out those threats. That's what could have happened to you.
he admitted that he was going to, that he had fantasized about it continuously from dawn till dusk, and he fantasized about duct taping my hands and duct taping my mouth. My. And he admitted 100% like that of everything he was going to do to me, you know. So,
and can I ask you, before all this started, before he left, because now I'm just curious, before he left your job, I mean, you knew him for how many years? How many years before that?
I knew him for like 18 months.
Okay, and what sort of a person? Did he seem to be a normal, rational person up to that point?
Yeah, like he was very loud, and you always knew when he was in the building. But like he never raised any red flags with me, even you know, when you're having a bit of banter with the lads. He never crossed the line. He never made me feel uncomfortable, because if he had, I wouldn't have met him that morning in his new place of work.
So he had just become obsessed with you, basically.
Yeah, that's he admitted to, that it was morning till night, that's all he thought about. And
Okay.
Yeah.
So getting back to the campaign, and and I know you've been subjected to it, Eve, obviously you met through radio, because both you had done a radio interview, and then you both hooked up because she obviously went to a very similar experience as well. Mm-hmm. And at the moment, currently the legislation in this country is harassment. And I know, because being in the media, there's one or two individuals. I had a guy last year threatening to blow my head off with a shotgun and also rape our producer. Unfortunately, we went to the guards and little was done about it. And we even had a phone number, mind you, it may have been, you know, some sort of dodgy phone number, but we even had a phone number. And at the time, it surprised me that they said to me, well, unless they actually do something, there's not a lot we can really do. And that I found very, you know, disturbing. That somebody can go to that much trouble of threatening to kill you, and there's not a lot they can really do about it. Mm-hmm. But so harassment is the law currently in place. You want to see a separate piece of legislation similar to the UK that carries some sort of at least a minimum sentence or a maximum sentence, as in the UK is 10 years, and have it like a separate offence. So how do you define, Una, you know, stalking as opposed to harassment?
Well, like when he was messaging me, he was messaging me over a period of 6 weeks. Like, that to me is harassment. Harassment is when they're messaging you, calling you on the phone, emailing you. But once they set foot on your property, or once they're aggressively following you, like in Eve's case, her guy was outside her work for 8 hours. Like, there's nobody has any reason to be outside somebody's work premises for eight hours. And that's stalking. And somebody coming to you, once they cross onto your property, that has escalated to stalking.
Yeah, okay, so you would like to see it run in tangent, I suppose, with harassment and assault. In other words, if somebody is assaulted but they've had previous reportings of a person who'd been doing this, that it runs in tangent with that. Mm-hmm. Because I suppose the difficulty from the guard's point of view is that, let's say, a boyfriend and girlfriend who break up, and either one can become the stalker, by the way, let's be clear. So let's say the girlfriend or the boyfriend is constantly messaging on Facebook, constantly texting, and just won't stop. Now, that is stalking. It can turn into stalking and harassment initially, but then it becomes stalking if you have a new partner and they're kind of following you, or they're turning up at events that you're at on a regular basis. It's hard to define that, the threat of that. Now, of course, if they threaten to rape somebody or kill somebody, that is a whole different ballgame altogether. Mm-hmm. But I suppose to define this specifically as stalking, it's going. And by the way, I'm 100% behind you, and I support what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And I think there should be there absolutely should be a difference between harassment and stalking. But it's how we define it is going to be the difficult part, isn't it? Particularly if it seems innocent in some sense.
I mean, well, it is going to be very difficult to do it, but it needs to be done. So you know, the justice minister, like they have to sit down and they have to figure, like, it's up to them to figure out really how to do it and how to define it
and how it's interpreted.
And how to define it. Yeah, yes. and exactly, and give the guards more power, and give them, like, define for them what they can do, when they can do it, how they can do it.
Mm-hmm.
So because at the moment, like, in fairness to the guards, they probably do want to do a lot more, but their hands are tied, you know. I mean, I was very, very lucky, because I wasn't going in saying, oh, I think somebody's following me, or some guy is following me. Like, I had the letters, the car
absolutely,
was painted, the
yeah.
house was painted. So I had...
Oh, it's there in black and white. Evidence. Absolutely, yeah.
You know, so there was no grey area, and I think that's why my case was so straightforward. Mm-hmm. Whereas when you have a guy that's kind of popping up here, there and everywhere, it can be quite difficult to prove it. But if some guy, like, if a guy passes your workplace, that's one thing. But if a guy is standing outside for 8 hours,
Mm-hmm. I mean, and this is real crime prevention, because although both of your stalkers received a similar sentence of mm-hmm. 7 years or 2 years suspended sentence, if this had been allowed to go on, sadly for you, Una, and I say this with the greatest respect, the next step is he would have carried out his threat.
Yeah.
And that, yeah. And we could have been reporting a very different crime and talking exactly. about a very different crime today on the radio.
Exactly.
Okay, so you've hooked up obviously with the Cork Sexual Violence Centre in relation yeah. to backing this campaign, and mm-hmm. You've got a petition going now. There's almost 1,000 signatures, and you want to get mm-hmm. as many as possible, obviously, to give it more credibility and to give it more support. And where can yeah. people sign up, by the way, if they want to sign up?
Well, what we've done is we have created, in conjunction with the Cork Sexual Violence Centre, Mary Curley has been absolutely phenomenal in her support of us and getting the website up and running. Because when I was going through this, like, there was nothing online. There was no help. There was no, like, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know who to turn to, how to report it.
That's the hardest part of all these things, when you're in these situations, yeah. is who do I turn to?
Yeah. So, like, our website is stalking.ie, and all the information is on it. If anybody wants to contact us, they can contact us. If they just want to have a look at what stalking is and how to report it, that's there. Like, they don't have to contact us, but if they want to, they can. And there's the link to the petition, and also there's the webinar that we're having a webinar on the 6th of May at 7 o'clock, and there's a link there to sign up for that. It's a free webinar. But I think it will be very, very good, you know.
So, okay, well, look, if anybody wants to find out and you don't remember all of that, if you go to my Twitter account right now, the Niall Boylan Show or the Niall Boylan Twitter account, we've put a link up there as well to that petition and also to the website.
And the main thing really for me is that if anybody is going through it, to check the website, because mm-hmm. there's help there that wasn't there when I was going through it, you know. And it's a very lonely place to be when you don't know who to turn to, you know. So
yeah, are safety orders of any value in those situations, by the way? You know, when you get to a point, say, where somebody maybe hasn't got quite as far as, you know, the point that you got to in your situation, mm. but say you've got an ex-boyfriend, an ex-girlfriend, whatever it is, and they're kind of stalking you, turning up at events. Now, nothing threatening, but still to you it feels quite threatening, I suppose. I mean, have you spoken to anybody who's maybe gone to the district court to get a safety order against people like that? I mean,
At the moment, you can only get restraining orders against intimate partners or ex-intimate partners. Mm-hmm. So your neighbour, your work colleague, you know, the milkman, the postman, whoever.
They're not included.
They're not included.
Well, I wasn't aware of that, by the way. I thought you could get a safety order against anybody.
No. At the moment, it's just intimate partners.
That's something else we should look at as well, is extending that piece of legislation to help, you know, because, I mean, you can have a complete stranger stalk you.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
Okay, well, look, the information's there. I'm sorry you had to go through the experience, by the way, that you went through. And if anyone wants to go to our Twitter account now, you will see a link there to sign up on that petition and obviously help the ladies out and, of course, the Cork Sexual Violence Centre, and to back this piece of legislation, because I think it really is, it is needed, because there are people out there who have been subjected to it. And if you are listening and you are going through that, go to the website stalker.ie. There's some good information and good points of interest there, and people that you can contact in relation to it. Listen, Una, thank you very much indeed, and thanks for coming.
Thank you so much. Thanks very much.
All right, see you. Bye.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi award winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hit.